Christmas Carol has been done a lot. So what makes what makes this version, you know, the Titan Theater Company and Queens Theater Company, your collaboration, what makes it different? What makes it special?
What makes it special is, well, it's a brand new adaptation. Emily Trask, who is a Titan Theater Company member, and myself have written a brand new adaptation. And I know there's a lot of brand new adaptations out there every year. But when the Queens Theater and Titan Theater Company kind of decided to join forces on this, we wanted to do something new and something different. And the first thing that usually doesn't pop to mind is Christmas Carol, because you're like, wow, that's something that, you know, everybody kind of does. But then living here in New York, and in Queens especially, we kind of said, you know, what if we take, you know, this old classic story that everybody, you know, deems to be overdone, put our own kind of spin on it, and bring it kind of back into a community and reinvent it in a way that kind of makes it, you know, a new kind of vision and a new kind of thought of how to do a classic story, which has kind of been Titan's MO from the beginning, how to do classic plays in a new way. So it's a new adaptation that's only 90 minutes long, so it's fast-paced. Wow. And there's some twists and turns, and with, you know, the kind of bigger budget kind of extravaganza Christmas carols, you know, there's fly systems and all these crazy things that can happen to recreate London. But what we really went with was we put the story first, you know, the story of this man who over time has, you know, kind of become an introvert, a misanthrope, all these things, and he's kind of grown into himself. We all know the story of Scrooge, so I'm not saying anything new. But we really focused on that and his journey from beginning to end and how we could really put the emphasis on his change. I know it's called the Christmas Carol, but if we could call it a Scrooge Carol, it would be a little better for us. It just happens to take place at Christmas time. It's man's journey. So we really focused on that and all the things that led Scrooge to become Scrooge, how Scrooge became, you know, who he was, and the three ghosts, past, present, and future, you know, through their magical journey, kind of lead him and show him through that and his transformation at the end. What we've done with the set and things like that allow really the audience to be, to imagine things. You know, we didn't want to fill every hole in. You know, the set designer, Jasmine Nicole Roberts, who's brilliant, and she puts up with me and my ideas quite well. We didn't want to create it all. We wanted to hint at it and kind of let the audience take their own paintbrush and fill it in. Yeah, sure. It's very Shakespearean, you know. You can walk in a Shakespeare play and they say, "We're in the Forest of Athens," and the audience goes, "Okay, we're in the Forest of Athens. Here we go." So that's very much what we did. You know, we have things that represent different areas, and it's fast-paced, and the transitions kind of morph kind of magically with the ghosts. It's a really cool thing. So tradition and innovation kind of meet for Queens Theater and Titan Theater Company's Christmas Carol.
For someone that has seen it in various, you know, iterations and has seen it on TV and stuff, why do you think, if you had to just give them, like, a single reason that they had to see this show, why would it be?
The single reason. Did I say it's 90 minutes? It's really short. for me, I think it would be, it's, like I said, it's really story-driven, you know, and it sounds so cliche, and it's such a theater cliche that it's story-driven, but I've been in Christmas Carol like 6 times. Half of our cast has been in Christmas Carol forever, and we've all seen it 35 times, so you know, to take it on. But you know, all my experience with A Christmas Carol being all positive, I'm not knocking any of these other things. Gosh, big budgets and all this extravaganza is great, but that's already been done, and that wasn't our goal. So like you said, what was our main focus? And to go back to that old cliche, it really is about a singular man's journey rather than, like, you know, sitting back in the audience and going, "Oh my gosh, look at all this stuff." You know, we really simplified it and we put the heart in it. So I think if you wanted to really focus on one thing, the one thing that makes ours different is it's a whole lot of heart and it's a whole lot of holiday season. And that, you know, in today's world and the way things are right now, we can, you know, wrap the Christmas present really pretty, but it's what's inside that really matters.
in order for this production to really shine, you need a very special Scrooge. So who is your Scrooge? Yeah. What makes him special?
Our Scrooge is very special. Kevin Loomis is our Scrooge. He's a Broadway vet. He was in Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark for the entire run of it, and he was in Inherit the Wind, and a big regional theater guy, big Shakespeare guy out in Seattle. Him and I actually were actors together. We did a Shakespeare play at Milwaukee Shakespeare in Wisconsin. We did Two Henry Four, which is one of, I call it, the Return of the Jedi in the Henry trilogies. We met there, and he played Falstaff in that, and I played some small part, and we kind of hit it off. And when we were looking for a Scrooge, we wanted someone with some power and heart, you know, someone, because when we're putting Scrooge at the forefront and we're not making it about, you know, extravaganza and big sets and things like that, you have to have a man with a big heart. And Kevin Loomis has a big heart. He's a giving, giving man. And he has taken this and he has jumped into it with 100% and is really delivering something lovely. Every nuance, every different ghost that visits him, you can see it chink away at his armor, and his transformation was quite beautiful at the end.
What was it like, what was the collaboration like working, you know, Titan Theater Company and Queen's Theater Company? Were there any issues? How well was the collaboration process? How well did it go?
Well, you know, whenever you think about two theater companies coming together, it can be, you go, oh my gosh, you know, it's not as simple as, you know, forming Captain Planet. the powers combined don't always work that way. But this one, you know, and this isn't just because I'm doing an interview, it's been really great. Aaron Sacramone, who's the managing director over there, has really opened our arms to us. We're the theater in residence there now, so we were already kind of partners in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Christmas Carol idea came up, and we were like, well, let's do a show together, not just do shows in your building, you start to worry about, like, well, who's going to do this and who's going to do that? But there was an interview that came, or not an interview, but a feature that came out yesterday that said it was a match made in drama heaven, you know, a true love story. And to be honest, it's like, I was surprised how well the pieces fit together. theater is an ego-driven art form, and that's a good thing. We all know the horror stories of bad ego, but you have to have some ego in theater, and I believe it's a really good thing. And we have some, they have some, and our egos mold really well together. So it's been a joy, a real joy, and I'm not just saying that.
Last question. How do you want this production to ultimately be remembered? You know, a couple of kids go and see it with their grandparents or something, you know, 3-4 years ago when they have that conversation with them again. How would you like them to reminisce on the production?
Oh, that's a really great question, because, yeah, I remember seeing my first show. It wasn't Christmas Carol, but it's always a different show for everyone. For me, mm-hmm. It was Midsummer Night's Dream. If there's, and you know, we always say that, it's another theater cliche that, you know, if we touch one person in the audience, if one kid becomes a theater fan, that we've done our job. Looking back, if, you know, if I were to be the 5-year-old or 6-year-old or whatever in the middle of the house watching the show, and on their way home, if they could just have that one thought that Christmas is a special time, that the holidays are a special time, and that really that people can change and people are good deep down inside, if they come out going with more faith in humanity, I would feel, you know, that people can change from one thing to another, and that people can grow to understand and that can grow to love. That would be my hope. It really is a story for everyone. And that would be my hope, that when they're driving home and before the young child falls asleep in the car in the back, he just smiles and goes, the world is a good place. That would be great.